actor Larkin Campbell joins us. His new book, A View from the Middle, How an Unknown Actor Managed to Stay That Way. Larkin, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Zach. Thanks for having me on. My goodness, what a turn to have all those hard topical events and then flip to somebody, a fluff piece like me. But I appreciate it. We need a little good news out there, don't we?
Now, you know what we need is some time of distraction and something to make us, you know, feel good. And we do enough of the seriousness stuff. Well, tell us a little bit about your background before we talk about your book.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I was a big fan of guys like you and your industry when I was growing up. I grew up in a very, very small town. And by the way, Jack, I've been to your part of the world a couple of years ago. I was working on a documentary, and we went through there for a couple of days, and I spent a day in Walpole, and I spent a wonderful evening at a beautiful cabin on Walpole Lake, and I'll never forget that place as long as I live.
What were you doing?
What
were you doing?
Hanging part of the world you live in?
Were you hanging around with filmmaker Ken Burns?
Well, it was funny. You know, we were out walking around one morning, and just loving that town, and we walked past this little neighborhood, and there's a guy with his garage door open, and my buddy who I was with, he's like, "Yeah, that's Ken Burns right there. He's just got his garage door open." Up and easy, working in the shop. I'm like, well, there you go. I love this place. It's fantastic. I loved it. What a perfect way to not meet Ken Burns, but just walk past his house and see what he's doing in his garage.
Well,
I loved it.
Well, you can relate probably because you're from, I think, Colorado. Larkin Campbell, tell us a little bit about your book and your acting career. You know, you've been in a lot of movies. You've worked with some big names. And tell us a little bit about some of the movies. I mean, I know a few here, and I think these are your... I'm looking at a list here. Tell us about some of the bigger projects, bigger movies and actors you've worked with.
Well, Jack, I've just been down here for so long slugging it out. And a lot of the wonderful things, the good luck I ran into, I was, you know, kind of even barely working on the movies. I was working as a production assistant, you know, getting coffee and making copies and, you know, changing tires in golf carts and whatever I could do. Well, once you get on these lots, these unbelievable lots like Disneyland, like the Paramount lot, the Sony lot, Warner Brothers and Universal, and once I stepped foot on those as kind of like a gopher worker, I just knew that I wanted to stay in this business forever. So I started, you know, banging on doors and getting headshots made. And I had acted in college, in high school, and that, you know, I thought that prepared me, Jack, for the world of Hollywood acting, and it was clear that it did not. So it is called show business for a reason. And then you start at the bottom, and I fought my way into little television parts on, like, you know, Grey's Anatomy and CSI New York and a bunch of shows that, like, either didn't make it on the air or you shoot a pilot and it never goes.
It's so hard.
But then,
isn't
you know,
it?
If you just stay at it long enough, like with a lot of stuff, I started to turn the corner and I started to get, you know, better auditions over the years. And, you know, the whole point of my book, Jack, and thanks for pitching it, is, you know, there's the dozens and dozens of actors that we all know of. And there's the dozens and dozens and hundreds of actors that you might have seen, but you mm-hmm. certainly don't know their name. And then there's the dudes like me who worked a lot going from show to show and movie to movie. And you didn't even see me enough to go, hey, didn't I recognize a guy from something? But, you know, at the end of a decade, you're like, man, I'm still in it. I'm still working. I got my head down. I'm fighting for more roles. And, but, you know, when you end up, so I just stayed at it. Then I got a role in the awesome show, The Office. Mm-hmm. You know, at the time was my favorite TV show and was a monster show at the time. And that kind of helped me out. That got me some more, you know, you get a good job, and then I think all of a sudden you get some credibility somehow. So, and that led to the mothership of all jobs that I had. I worked 2 days on the Clint Eastwood movie, J. Edgar.
Yeah.
And I played Nixon's right-hand man.
Haldeman.
Talk a little politics here, Jack. We'll talk about Richard Nixon. How about that?
You played, I think if I'm right, you played Haldeman, right?
Yeah, I played Haldeman. And, you know, doing the research on him was awesome.
Yep.
Pardon me.
Well, but you also, I
he
think,
had a great, very.
Yep. I mean, some of the other movies, you know, Lethal Weapon 4. I mean, Mel Gibson. I mean, you've worked with some great actors. Larkin Campbell, the book, A View from the Middle, How an Unknown Actor Managed to Stay That Way. Great read, great distraction, great entertainment. Good story of perseverance, really. Amazon.com. Larkin, I want to go back to when you're talking about how you kind of started at the bottom. But a lot of very successful people, that's where they start. And you know, it's interesting. I'm amazed by some things, and I'm piecing it together as I stay on this earth a little longer. And sometimes we don't count our blessings and just how long I've had my show and how it's grown. And I know a lot of people want to have their own show and have it syndicated. It's not easy anywhere. But this past month, yesterday, 2 days ago, Monday, I watched the end of the Players Golf Tournament out of Florida with Cameron Smith winning that because it was delayed with the weather. And the reason why I bring up golf, and you're thinking, where's this guy going, is people may know that was a $20 million tournament, a big purse. People may know of Phil Mickelson. They've heard of some of these players, Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy. But they don't understand there's 200 or 300 golfers below them who are trying to start at the bottom out in the parking lot to qualify for a tournament. They're eating at fast food restaurants. They're sleeping in their car. They're staying with host families. They're just trying to break into one PGA event and then to do well enough to get to another event and afford their caddy and their airfare. People have no idea, because the golfers make it look easy, how hard it is. And the only thing that separates them, and then I'm fascinated, because Keegan Bradley's from our neck of the woods, and he was 11 under. I'm a golfer, obviously. And he kind of blew the last couple holes. And he's won before, but there's only a few strokes that separate them, who might have gotten a $3 or $4 million check from Monday with the Players, and someone who's living in the parking lot trying to make a tournament just to get to the next one. And it's a little bit like acting or singing or anything that's hard on the entertainment side. I don't know if you'd agree.
Well, believe me, Jack, I don't mind the comparison to golf at all. I'm a golf man myself. But you know what? I mean, it's a spot-on comparison because, you know, in my book, I talk about it in great detail. You know, I always thought I was a good actor, and I always thought I could carry myself, and I thought I had a good voice and all that stuff. But, you know, you get in the big world out here, and I was just another average-looking dude, you know, with a little bit of acting ability, and it just came down to, like, you know, I hate to use all the cliches, but, like, I didn't care how long it took me. I didn't care about the rejection. You know, in my book, I talk about I counted every single audition from day one, and I did not get 512 jobs over my time, and I'm still doing it. I lost a job yesterday because I don't know. I try to be too funny in the audition or whatever. But you know, the 48 or couple jobs like that I did get, you know, the days in the sun. You do appreciate all the days, you know, like the golfer guys. Just, you know, I just wanted my chance, you know. And there were times I'd go 6-8 weeks without an audition, let alone get the audition, and then pray the clouds part, and you get a call back, and then you get to get in the room, and you get to really fight for your chance. You know, you get to shake the producer's hand and, you know, look him in the eye and say, I know I can do this. Give me a chance. I'm your man, and all that stuff. And when it pays off, you're like, you know what? There it is. You know, that you know, 10 weeks of work paid off, and I got. You know, I worked one day, and in a couple weeks, I'll get to see myself on TV and tell all my friends and family. And that, honestly, like, that was enough for me. Like, the battle scars, I didn't mind, and the hard work, it did pay off. Even if a guy like me, you know, like, the whole point of the book, Jack, is, you know, I may not have made it big, but at times, I sure as hell felt like I did. When I'm on the set of The Office with Steve Carell and Ed Helms,
yeah,
and it's just us three. Because I was playing a college baseball coach, and we weren't in the office, you know, so all the other actors weren't there. It was just me and those two dudes,
yep.
You know, two monstrously funny guys, really, really, really sweet guys.
Yeah.
And it's just us three in the van going to set, and I'm looking around, I'm like, all right, let's go. I don't care how many jobs I didn't get. I'll take this over 100 misses. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Larkin Campbell, I mean, it only takes a few, I guess. It's like going back to the golf tournament. If you win a few PGA titles, some people are lucky to win one or even get in. Larkin, though, real quickly, you obviously wanted it, and you stayed with it. But before I let you go, DiCaprio in playing J. Edgar Hoover, how good of an actor?
He's an animal. He really is, man. That role, you know, that movie didn't get much attention because it was kind of maybe long, a little boring and whatever. But, man, that guy, and, you know, I've worked with a couple of guys like him, like DiCaprio and Cruise and Tom Hanks. And those guys, they may be really funny when they're on late night talk shows. But, man, those guys are all business. Those guys, they're grinders, you know.
Yeah,
they want every scene to be good. They want every chunk of the movie to be good. They're not playing around when they're on set, and I've been on, and DiCaprio was all business, man. That makeup was tough, his character was tough, but that guy, you know, he's a big boy, and he deserves all the acclaim. And, you know, the big boys are there for a reason, I believe.
Right. Well, you know what, not to bring up Brady because it's unretirement or Aaron Rodgers, I think they're probably pretty serious when they're on the field as well, right? Larkin Campbell, we wish you nothing but the best. Of You from the Middle, How an Unknown Actor, well, not really unknown, but unknown actor managed to stay that way. I love it. Larkin, best of luck to you. We'd love to get you back on the show again soon. You have a home here. Thank you.
Thank you, man. And they can check out the book. They can just go to Larkin's World, just L-A-R-K-I-N, larkinsworld.com, and it'll take you right to the book. But thanks so much, Jack. I appreciate it.
I imagine Amazon as well. Thank you, Larkin. All
right. Take care. Thanks.